do whatever you can to be as visible as possible, and then you will see how things naturally build upon each other.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Be That Lawyer. My name is Steve Fretzen, and if you're a first-time listener, I am a business development coach for attorneys, helping them to double or triple their books of business. And part of what I do is help them in any way I can, giving tips and tricks and ideas and having amazing guests on my show to help to share their stories and insights. Today, we are super happy and excited to have Dahlia Saper. She is an IP attorney and adjunct professor at Loyola Law School and really a pioneer in social media, entertainment, and technology law. And she's been all over the media, CNN, Fox, ABC, you name it. And I want to welcome Dahlia.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, thanks for being here. Really, really happy to talk with you. You and I have known each other for many years, and I just had to have you on my show to kind of have people understand your story, and maybe you can do a little bit of justice to my terrible bio on you that didn't cover everything, but maybe give our listeners a little bit more of a background on yourself and your practice, and what are you doing to help people out there solve problems?
Sure. I founded Saper Law in 2005, so this year marks our 15th anniversary year being in business.
Awesome.
I started the firm shortly out of law school after a year with a solo and after having had a summer associateship at a big firm. So, truly I haven't had exposure to much traditional law firm settings. But nonetheless, when I started my firm, I figured, what can I focus my practice on in a way that someone would be willing to hire a 20-something-year-old out of law school? And necessarily, that ended up being anything and everything internet related. And in that sense, I had no real disadvantage. If anything, I had some of an advantage because of my age. And the rest is really history. Over time, I've positioned myself to, like you said, be someone who understands social media law, issues relating to novel technologies, new industries. And as a result, I've been interviewed by the news media a lot. I teach at Loyola an entertainment course where social media is a big portion of the curriculum. And yeah, it's a fun practice area.
Very cool. Very cool. And, just since we're on the topic, because you're an authority, what are some of the do's and don'ts for attorneys regarding their online reputation and social media?
I think it's important to have a presence that's not just tied to, the firm. You want to be sure that there's enough information out there such that if you are the victim of a disgruntled client or, who knows, whatever could be out there, that there's enough positive content out there and it would mitigate anything that's negative. And that could be as simple as updating your LinkedIn regularly, creating a blog or tweeting positive, content that's associated with you. I think the risk of being afraid of having any content online means that if there were one negative post or comment made about you, it can have a much more devastating impact than, one out of 50 bad reviews or commentary about you.
Right. So the attorneys that are out there that just, they're not writing, they're not posting, they're not doing things and, right, that are adding to the online content, then, where they maybe have a few pages of content on themselves versus, nothing.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think it's just good practice to have it is the practice of law, whether you're at a big firm, a mid-sized firm, or you have your own practice. You want to do everything that gets yourself out there and that proactively establishes your reputation so that any even ding on your reputation will be less impactful because of your pre-existing reputation that you've developed and honed.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. Great ideas and tips. I think social media is a big, kind of gray cloud for a lot of people, especially lawyers. So some people are all in and you can see them posting daily and others are like, they don't even have a photo on their LinkedIn, page or anything. And so, any other tips or ideas as far as social media, things that lawyers can do to try to get their name out there in a positive way?
I think it's important to provide value. So like you said, writing articles, but practically speaking, we also know how busy most lawyers are. So writing a commentary on anything new is going to be difficult on a regular basis. What I do is I share information that I find and curate. So if there is something in the news relating to my practice area, I use that as an opportunity of being first in mind, and I promote that throughout my different platforms. I use a platform called Hootsuite that lets me post to multiple sites at the same time, because that in and of itself can get tedious, trying to post to LinkedIn and your Facebook account and Twitter, and have to go do it three times. So there are ways to streamline that. I can also publish content for the whole week and, you know, set it and forget it. So if I spend a couple hours at the beginning of the week populating what my social media feed's going to look like, then I can, again, use that opportunity to be first in mind without having to do a lot of work every day.
Gotcha. So let's change course for a little bit here. One of the things I was hoping to get out of this chat today is to just learn a little bit about you and sort of how you came to be and get to where you are today. And so was there a point or experience that happened in your life that directed you to, you know, either personally or in business to kind of get where you are today?
Well, you know, when you start law school, especially someone who goes straight through, you're not really sure what to expect. I did always have kind of this bug where I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but didn't have the necessary, you know, experience or necessary capital to create a brand new business. During law school, I partnered with a friend who had established a fashion production company and asked me to come on board and help her. And I did. And that was really my first taste of true entrepreneurship. We produced large-scale fashion shows and partnered with major brands to do so. And in that role, I was working on PR matters, you know, writing press releases, coordinating sponsors and writing sponsorship agreements. And ultimately, that business dissolved. We had some disputes about the best way to govern certain, you know, aspects of the business. And when that ended, I felt kind of like, well, what can I do that's entrepreneurial and still utilizes my law degree? And the answer was pretty simple. Guess you got to start a law firm. That kind of was the background. I did take a job just so I could have an, you know, idea of how litigation works and how the system works procedurally. And that was really the boot camp position I had coming out of law school for a year with a solo practitioner. And then because, again, in part due to my age, I figured, let's try this law firm thing. I have really very little to lose. Even if I'm eating, you know, pizza and ramen noodles for a year and not making anything, at least I'm establishing and building something. And then right place, right time, choosing the right niche area of law ended up being a prudent decision because, as I mentioned, we're now 15 years in and I've had the opportunity to litigate some very interesting and novel issues of law. I've catered to clients from a wide variety of industries and, as our firm motto goes, been cool by association.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. I unfortunately don't have a lot of coolness in the work I'm in, but anyway, it's all right. I get to tell lawyers what to do all day. So that's something, right?
It's important.
Yeah, I think so. So then in being an entrepreneur and starting your own firm, obviously there's an element of, I don't know if it's fear or just kind of gumption that it takes, but what was your thought about that and growth and as it related to business development? Maybe we can kind of lean into that a little.
I think you kind of have to have that don't be afraid to ask personality. To be an entrepreneur, especially one starting out in the legal field, you definitely need to rely on the resources and the network you've built, because you can't be a law firm if you don't have clients, and you can't be a law firm if you can't do the work. And those were two very real things when I started my firm at the age of whatever I was, 25. So I would say, you know, set out to first know what you're going to be doing. So have an idea of what kind of a law firm you're going to be. I would advise generally against being an general practice attorney. I think it's wise to at least be known for something. There's so many lawyers out there and you want to be able to distinguish yourself. And unless you're kind of joining a general practice firm, I'd say, you know, pick a general area, pick an area of law that you think people will think of you and you know, and promote that. And then be sure to rely on a good network of mentors who you can ask questions and bounce questions off of. One of the things people are afraid of when they start a firm is that they won't have a friend sitting next door or a lawyer's office they can walk into. So create your own little office and be able to ping a friend if you don't know how to handle a situation or have a question of law.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so were there times where you felt you were maybe getting better at business development, and there were there moments where you had like aha moments, like, oh, this is, you know, what I need to do to get, you know, the new clients in, or this is something, an angle, a marketing angle or business development angle that helped you to grow and build a sustainable book?
I think what I liken the act of networking for a law firm to that game of Minesweeper. I don't know if you know that game back when we used to have.
Yeah, sure.
So it's fun to see how going to one thing can lead to something else, can lead to something else. So I would always be open to yes, meaning like I would go to everything and anything that was remotely relevant to the areas of law or the kind of clients I wanted to attract. And over time, it was very much a game of Minesweeper. I'd go to one thing and it would open the door to something else. And if you have that kind of personality, for me, that was fun. I find it exciting to go to things. If you're not an extrovert, then you need to come up with other ways to gain that kind of same momentum. But it's really a matter of just do whatever you can to be as visible as possible. And then you will see how things naturally build upon each other. So one client likes your work, you get another client. And I would say that over the last 15 years, with very little, if no, advertising, I've spent almost $0 advertising, I've been able to grow a book because organically people have heard about me or been referred to from existing clients or met me at an event where I was speaking or actively going to shake hands and kiss babies.
Gotcha. And so I know that, you know, there's entrepreneurs and there's, you know, people that are looking to go out on their own. And one of the biggest sort of challenges that I either deal with myself or that I hear about on the street is, you know, women that are feeling great pressure that whether they go out on their own or they just want to develop a book of business, it's the pressure of the family and the balance and how to, you know, do all of that. And so without just like forgetting their family and forgetting their free time and just working, you know, in developing business, how have you been able to balance all that? And are there tips that you can give specifically to women?
Yeah, well, I have two children and my newest one is 3 months old. So
Oh my God, congratulations.
Thank you. Wow. So absolutely. I would say though, that having your own firm is the most mom-friendly kind of job you can have. You get to dictate the hours, you dictate when and how clients can reach you. Whereas when you're at a firm, a lot of that flexibility is not there. Also, of course, I understand the challenges of not being able to go to every event. And I also recognize that when I started my firm, I didn't have any children. So now being the mom of two, it's changed how I network, to your point. And the beauty of the difference between when I started my firm 15 years ago and now is that we have social media. We have all of these online ways of engaging and networking and being seen, which are in some ways far more productive uses of time than kind of hoping you meet the right person at an event with 50 people and trying to shake hands and work a room. So as a mom, I'd say one, you have a lot more networking opportunities that are virtual. And also you get to set the times and places where you can make those connections.
Gotcha. And as you know, doing what I do, I spend a lot of time really trying to teach efficiencies because some people have less flexibility if they're already getting, you know, 50 hours a week of billable work that they're, you know, it's getting pushed to them. How do they then carve out, you know, some time for business development to, you know, grow that book? So eventually they have their own clients and can start dictating things more like an entrepreneur, but that's really the challenge, right? It's sort of the chicken or the egg at that stage.
And I think it's important to set boundaries. And actually, if you are at a firm, state, I need X amount of time for business development. And you'd be surprised how much business development I can do going to my kid's soccer match or taking my daughter to ice skating or whatever it might be, because clients tend to hire you because they know you and they know you in settings that are not necessarily business settings or professional settings.
Right. Got it. So yeah, I think that you either make the time or you somehow create it around, you know, what you have or again, but just trying to find efficiencies, I think is a big part of it. And time management, things, skills that are learned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And this may seem like I don't know if it's an odd question, but it's something I'm always curious about is, were there any times growing your firm where you felt, you know, either vulnerable or you sat and second guessed yourself, like what did I get myself into? Were there any moments like that?
I mean, candidly, no.
Okay.
Now, of course, there's always times where you second guess yourself, but I would say that's more about, did I take on a case that's too big for me? Or can I handle, you know, this type of matter or this kind of client? I think I started my firm when I didn't know better. So to me, there's no like grass is greener, other than that it would be nice to have the support of an infrastructure possibly. But that's where mentors come in, and that's where having that kind of sounding board of friends who can guide you is helpful. A lot of having your own firm is having confidence, act as if. And if you have, the right resources, you really can handle almost anything.
Right, right. So to kind of add on to that, if you're a coach for lawyers and you were going to give them some advice on, you know, how to grow business or grow their own law practice, obviously confidence top of the list. And what are two or three other things that you would say are at the top of the list as far as, you know, building books?
Absolutely. Having an efficient practice. So, you know, if you give me a case, that's not something I'm not going to repeat. So I don't do personal injury, right? But let's say a really good personal injury case came, and I would say, you know what, even if the upside is huge, it's just not what I do. And it wouldn't be a good use of my firm's resources to try to build up that expertise for this one case if it's not something I'm going to do all the time. So build a book of business around things you can systemize and things you can do regularly. And that, you know, we're a service-based business. We're not selling a commodity. And the more you can commoditize, at least in your own practice, what you do, I think the more niche your business becomes and the more efficient your business becomes, and therefore you can build that book of business more quickly. Oh, Dahlia did a case involving this weird, you know, Facebook issue. Let's send her everything we hear about that's related to Facebook. Great. Business will come more quickly when people know you to do something well that's, again, specific.
So it sounds like specialization is really one of the top, you know, most important things, not just saying I'm an IP attorney, right? But because that is a specialization, but then taking that into, you know, niches within that segment.
Right. And I remember we're not supposed to say specialized. So I was hesitant to use that word, but yes, focus on.
Right. Well, I can say it. I'm not an attorney, so.
Right. Okay.
I can get away with it. But again, that's really the key. And again, my father, you know, retired 20 years ago from the law, but he was a generalist and a master of all. And that just doesn't, you know, fly today. I think there's a few people that can pull that off.
You might be able to if you're in a firm and that a firm, you know, is a general practice firm that you can bring in the business and delegate to other partners.
Sure, sure.
But I think most of your clients are solos or people who are trying to build their little corner of the firm.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. So we talk about specialization a lot, and we talk about, you know, the focus, because if they have the focus, then they can go out and promote it and get, you know, get what they're looking for. But if they're too vague, right, it just kind of gets lost in all the, you know, the 60,000 lawyers in Illinois or the, you know, million plus lawyers around the country.
Yeah.
So this is a segment I'd like to talk about. It's called They Never Taught Me This in Law School. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing that you didn't learn in law school that you wish they had taught you in law school?
A lot of law school is, you know, case studies and navigating maybe the litigation process, and not a lot about client management, managing the client process, and also practicing in areas around the practice of law. So something as simple as how do you onboard a client? How do you get rid of a client? When should you fire a client? Are there transactional aspects to the business that you need to learn? That's not just, you know, filing a brief. A lot of that you do learn on the job when you graduate. So I don't fault law school for that. But I think it's a good idea just have more focus in schools today on things like advertising, client intake, client firing, whatever the outtake would be, those types of things.
Right. So more practice management and practical elements of being a lawyer running a law firm as a part of the graduation process.
I think so.
Okay. Got it. And is there one thing that you would say to young lawyers that, you know, whether they're 3 to 5 years out, they've been practicing, they're building up their skills as it relates to the importance of growing a book of business?
I would say that ABN, that's the motto at our firm, always be networking. And the more you just do it as part of your daily activities, the less of a chore it becomes. And it's just something you just do. So always check into your LinkedIn profile and post a comment or engage. If there's an opportunity for you to go to an event, figure out how you can attend. And then if you just incorporate it as part of your weekly exercises, I think the book of business naturally follows.
Well, as a self-promotional thing, I'll just mention that I've got a book called The Attorney's Networking Handbook available on Amazon. So if you're out there saying, you know, that's great, Dahlia, always be networking, but I don't know how to do that. That's not something I've ever had to do, whether it's a resource like you or me or books like I've written and other people have written, you know, go out and read. You know, you got to treat the business of law as important today as the law.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's really got to come to the forefront.
What's the book called, Steve?
It's called The Attorney's Networking Handbook.
Easy enough. There you go.
Yeah. It's right there. So if you just go to Amazon and type in my name. Anyway, that's really important, is I think that it's the idea of what you have to do and then to actually get the skills to build the skills to do it. And, you know, I think it sounds like, you know, through your mentors and just through your gumption, you've been able to sort of figure it all out as you went and on your own. However, it sounds like you're suggesting, you know, people should find mentors, they should find coaches, they should find people within their firm that have been there and done that and use that as a key point.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Got it. So is there anything else that you want to share about your firm, or are there a way for people to get in touch with you if they're interested in working with you or referring you?
Sure. So you can learn more about my firm at saperlaw.com, SAPERLAW. Another thing I do to add value and to have clients and prospective referral sources know more about me is I believe in the power of video and in the power of, you know, value add content. So if you have questions about certain social media issues, IP issues, business contracts, if you go to Saper Law, you'll see a plethora of different articles on a variety of topics related to those subject areas.
Also, if you're interested in seeing some video interviews of me and Dahlia from a few years ago, you can go to my YouTube channel at Steve Fretson on YouTube and check that out. I think we got into more substantive content.
That's right.
In those interviews, but good stuff all around. I want to thank you, Dahlia, for being my guest today. Just wonderful to hear your story and your success. I hope that continues on, as I know it will. So thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And hey, everyone, I just want to thank you for listening, as long as we're being as a love fest. Hope you enjoyed today's show and that you're one step closer to being that lawyer, confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Everybody take care. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.